Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time for another episode of OC Spotlight. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you the most incredible people doing the most amazing things right here in our own backyard. And today, this is one I don't think we've ever talked about before. Know anything about antiques and the world of restoration? Well, you're going to know a lot more at the end of this show as we bring in Daphne from DNG. The G stands for her husband's name, George. Daphne and George's Antiques and Restoration Services Company Store, whatever we call it, over in Corona Del Mar. Welcome, Daphne.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me today. It's great to be here. And great.
Where in the world did you learn to work with antiques? Did your mother do it? Did your family do it? Did you study antiquities? I don't know. How do you get into the world of antiques?
Well, you just nailed it all at one shot.
I guess. Okay.
So, yes, my mother was a collector, and she was also an avid archaeologist. That was her hobby.
Really?
Yeah, she loved antiques and archaeology and everything.
I went to the University of Michigan. I had a fascination in that as well. I studied the classics and Greek and Roman literature and took Latin, and for 5 minutes I thought, I'm going to travel the world and dig out little antiques or something.
Oh, amazing. Sounds like fun. Yeah. Well, I can start with my father-in-law.
Okay.
And, you know, he was an antique restorer, and he just gave his love to restoring antiques and bringing them to life. And
'cause that is a really hard thing. You don't just take it and dust it off and put a little, you know, water on it or something.
Yes,
here.
You have to give your love to it.
And it's and if you screw it up, you've ruined something.
Absolutely. I mean, he just started this business back in Europe, and me and my husband, my husband actually was an apprentice with his dad.
It's something you got to learn, like these people that painfully restore the Mona Lisas of the world or something and scrape off carefully somehow ancient layers of dirt and soot or whatever, or figure out how to bring the pigments back alive, or how to reveal what's underneath all the years of accumulated grime and dust and dirt and decay.
Yes, he was actually a restorer and also a creator, an art creator. Mm. He would do castings. He would just, make his own statues and cast them in bronze.
And what country was this in?
He was living in Istanbul and with Armenian roots. We're a family, like that. So
I'm gonna date myself here. I loved Humphrey Bogart in the movies of the 40s and 50s, even though I was born in the 50s. And what's the most famous one? The Maltese Falcon, the hidden bird that, and they're chasing it. It was all through Istanbul. I don't know what Istanbul is always the center of antiquities or art or lost books or lost books of the Bible or other things. I don't know. And somehow Istanbul always seems like the
mystical city of Istanbul. Let's say
right, exactly.
So well, we me and my husband we came to the United States in 1988, and we established our business here. And of course.
And why here? An affluent area, I guess, would where people would collect this kind of stuff and appreciate it.
It is, yes. We have a variety of cultures here who appreciate a variety of artwork.
Large Persian population, large Armenian population.
Yes, that is correct.
Somewhat of a Turkish population, I know, here.
Yes, there is everyone here, and it's such a welcoming place, and we're so grateful. And
is it mostly a European thing? Do people in South America collect like that? Do people in Hispanic countries collect the same way? Because I somehow picture it as the Middle East and antiquities, because that's where all these cultures have piled on top of each other over centuries and millennia.
I mean, it is very interesting. It's just also the people are very open to appreciating antiquities, as well as there is this concept of antiquity and also a concept of antiques. Antiquities is probably, I would say, BC, or, you know, we call
really
that
old.
Era, you right. know, filled with antiquities. But then also there is the antiques, there is European antiques, there is American antiques, there right. is all kinds of...
And that might be 100 years old or a couple hundred
yeah,
years old.
Could be, yes.
But antiquities could be thousands of years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. And, you know, when we came here, obviously, you know, our focus was to be different. There was no one.
Different just by being here. Are there lots of antiquities dealers here? I wouldn't think there are a whole lot of them here in Southern California.
Not in 1988. Yeah. There were very few Russian antique restorers in the Los Angeles area, and there was no one in Orange County. So I would proudly say that we're the first ones to establish such a business.
And that was what you specialized in? Are we talking about icon? What are they called? Iconographs? Like, I picture I'm an Irish Catholic, but in the Eastern Catholic, there are all these, what do you call them, icons and wooden carvings and the Russian Orthodox paintings of the saints chalices or holy objects or something?
We restore a variety of things. We do restore, and also we are an antique store. We do sales in from our store, and we at the moment don't carry icons, but we do carry European furniture, decorative arts, bronzes, lighting fixtures, and we also do interior design.
And how do you decide? So many cultures, so many millennia. You can't have something the size of the Smithsonian. So how do you decide what to pick? Is it just what you fancy or what you find or what you're asked to find?
We have a variety of clientele who really have an appreciation for antiques. So it's by demand, clientele demand also most of the time. And also we pick antiques just because we think they can make a statement in one of our clients' homes.
I mean, some things are obvious. If you find a Fabergé egg, where there was somebody made for the Russian czars or something, it used to be at Tiffany's or someplace.
Yeah.
That's obvious, but a chalice, a vase, a piece of furniture may be worth millions to one and worthless to somebody else here. That's the nature of antiquities here.
Yes.
Right, so give me some examples of stuff in your store. Walk me through some of the stuff I'd find if I went over to D&G Antiquities, antiques in Corona Del Mar.
You'll be lost.
I think I would be.
We have a variety of artwork, paintings. We have porcelain.
Is this mostly European stuff here?
Mostly European, but we also carry American antiques. We also do carry some Asian antiques, although our expertise is more in European antiques.
Okay.
But that doesn't...
My parents collected American cut glass.
Oh,
so I have an inherited collection. I don't know who would want it or know anything, but they spent a great deal of time finding it and collecting it.
They used to be very, very popular.
Very popular. Now you can't give it away, I don't think. But, yeah.
Well, you don't have to give it away. We'll find a way for you, always. We always find a way for our clients. We're here, and also we become friends with our clients, too. I mean, we're
so
like,
you must
we
be people like me who inherit these things, collections of plates or cut glass or silverware or furniture. Like from the Midwest, what do they call it? The Amish, the stickly furniture, all that kind of stuff. All these things that I was taught had value. Today's young people, the aging, not just the aging baby boomers, but like me, but my children go, "What's that?"
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an area that you can do tons of research right now with all the online information.
I'll bet.
Like years ago, we used to just sit down and go through antique auction catalogs to be able to find an equivalent or something that's close to it and then do an appraisal. So right now, things are a lot easier. And I kind of like it, but I do have some questions about it as well.
So give me some examples of pieces you've sold or pieces you found or pieces that you've offering. Just walk me through. Give me a couple examples of some of the more unusual, fun. They could be worth a lot or they could just be rare pieces. Or you tell me. What are the stories you tell everybody here?
One time we came across a beautiful bedroom set that was signed by François Linky And
I don't know who that
yeah,
was.
Well, it was a name that a avid French antique collector would really know.
Jump up and down and say, "Oh my God,
yes,
you found one!"
Yes, yeah. And that's like a really, really high end piece. You know, there
Give
is
me an idea. What,
encyclopedia what? Called Benezet, and nobody even looks at it now because everything is online.
Right. So, what would something like that sell for?
That would sell for right now. It could range. It could be above hundreds and thousands, or it could be above a million, depending on what kind of Francois Linky it is.
Oh my goodness.
However, it was a bedroom set with not so much ormolu. Ormolu meaning bronze castings on the item. So we were able to do a decent sales quite
decent
a few
sale.
Yes,
I'll bet.
Quite a few years ago. But
paid the bills for a while.
Not as much as you think. But,
but more than not, just a couple hundred dollars commission.
Yes, more than a couple of hundred dollars, exactly. But that was one of the items. And then one of the most interesting findings was a Picasso.
You found a real Picasso?
It was a sketch.
Okay. So there but even is still, tons, something the man drew. Yeah.
Yes, tons of things. There is tons of difference between a real Picasso painting and a sketch pricing. You wouldn't believe it. So, but it was a good sale to Texas. So we have clients from out of
so
state.
I can
well.
Only guess. From watching all the TV shows, mostly on PBS, Antiques Roadshow, or these people who go out and do barn finds, mm-hmm. or the people who go out through estate sales, and people bring these old things out of their attic, and they say, "What's this worth?" It's a Civil War letter from somebody here. It's signed by some president. It's a piece of furniture that somebody told me was a famous person. It's a watercolor by Audubon. It's a cut glass. My parents have read off of these famous people who did cut glass. It was something that meant somebody had some rarity to it and some appreciation for it, but that may have diminished over time, or it may have radically increased over time, and you think this is nothing. Like you go to these, what's that show, Antique Roadshow, and the people bring stuff in, and some of them are flabbergasted. It's worth millions, or it's worth nothing.
It is the emotional connection that the person has. I have my own family's antique chairs and love seat and a dining room set. And right now, if somebody gave me $1 million, I don't think I would want to sell them.
That sounds silly, but I appreciate it because it has some meaning. It takes you back. It's a connection to the past.
Exactly. It's how
I have
feel
a few
about.
Handful of heirloom things like that I'm sure aren't worth a nickel, but they're worth a lot to me because they were my great grandfathers or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we really cherish the relationship with our clients because the more we get to know our clients, the more we can help them. And to find out about their emotional connection to the particular item, how they would want to have it restored. And also, rather than just, bringing it to a newly bought look, we really have to pay the respect to the era that it originally belonged to.
Now, I don't think I've ever met anybody who's an antique dealer in my life. We've been doing this for 15 years. I don't think anybody, you're the first that's ever come in here.
Oh.
And yet, last weekend, we do a show on restaurants with a famous chef here, Pascal, who had Pascal's restaurant for 25 years. He brings all these people who worked for him or his fancy French restaurant and now have their own restaurants. The guy from the Pendry Hotel, exactly. All these people who once knew or worked for Pascal. So we had a woman in. Who worked for Pascal, went to the Ritz-Carlton, and now, for the past 18 years, has opened her own little really cool eclectic restaurant called Nirvana in Newport Beach. I give a plug for it. Fantastic, eclectic, unique space. Had the chance to go down and try it out. And I met her dad, who's an antique dealer, but he deals only in Native American stuff, Navajo rugs.
How interesting.
And I said, how in the world do you make money at that? He said, well, it's not always easy, but I've developed an expertise in Indian artifacts and stuff, and I've collected tons of them my whole life, in arrowheads and rugs and stuff. And he had a gallery in New Mexico where I guess you'd expect to see this stuff.
Of course.
Tommy Lee Jones walked into a store one day, the actor, the Academy Award winning actor, bought $500,000 worth of stuff because he was into that world. Is it that thing? Somebody walks in, there must be some very affluent people in Southern California, like in New Mexico, and they say, I've got a big house in Newport on the coast, and I want to collect, I don't know, rare French antiques or Chinese Ming vases, or however you say there's something. Or I'm Persian and I want Persian rugs or something. I don't know what the antiques are in Persia, but.
Well, thank you for sharing. Lovely story. Like that.
So there must be people like that that walk into your store?
Yes, there are people that walk into my store like that, but it's more like. I get a lot of questions about items, so I try to do my best to, you know, because there's a variety of items in my store. It's not a specialty, one that's focused in one area. It's a variety of items. I mean, I have mirrors, I have lighting fixtures, I have chandeliers, I have bronzes.
So are these furniture. Collectors that just come in, or are they the people who they hire to decorate their houses?
Everyone comes in. Everyone comes in.
From the little looky-loos like me to the professional collectors.
So I have to address everyone's personal questions about.
How big is the store? Is it little? Is it medium? Is it small? You got a warehouse?
It is. We do have a warehouse. However, the store itself in Corona del Mar is about 1,500 square feet.
Okay, so pretty and small.
And it is not too big. I do have a little workroom there that I do, a few things, but not all of it. But mainly, we do it as a family. My kids are also involved in the business as the third generation.
That's unique. So, because that's what I'm hearing, the younger generation, more and more. Ain't interested in collecting everything. My grandmother collected spoons or something. My other grandmother collected little figurines, you know. Other people collect coins, or they collect a rare something, dresses or furniture or something. Everybody kind of had a thing.
Yes.
I have little odd collections of things at home that I've squirreled away or whatever. And my daughter looks at this and goes, Dad, I'm just going to throw all this stuff away. It means not the modern generation. Do they collect? Do they have a sense of timeless possession? Or do they just, everything is just sort of expendable? I want a TV and I throw it out. I want a new furniture and I throw it out. And I want a new car and I get another one tomorrow. I don't see people collecting cars, coins, glasses like
Such
they used to when I was a kid.
An individual thing, like a personal thing. One of my daughters is studying art history. Because she loves antiques and the history behind it. And then the other daughter that I have is studying business and marketing, and she's also into.
So how do you do this business? How do you find these people? Is it just all word of mouth and walk in the door? Or I'm glad we got you in here today to tell the story, because I think most people probably don't even know you exist.
Well, thank you so much. It's word of mouth.
Yeah.
It's just people tell each other. And we've had many, 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 many happy clients all over it's been 40 years almost.
So. And are they just based here in Southern California, or do they find you from all over the world?
All over the world.
See, isn't that crazy? All over the world. And you don't have a website or anything? They just come and find you somehow?
Yes, we do. Yes, we don't.
I mean, you do Instagram. We'll talk about all that stuff.
Yeah, we have social media. However, it's mostly people want to see who you are. They want to talk to you. They want to experience doing business with you.
And you're the type of person I would want. I just met you today, and I'm not just saying this to flatter you, but you kind of fit the profile. You know, you've got a background in antiquity. This is a family heritage. You come from the Middle East, where I picture all the antiquities in the world. If it's not Chinese, it's Persian, Middle Eastern, Ottoman something or whatever, you know. All the stories you told me, your husband being an apprentice and for his, what was his, father-in-law or something?
Yes, my father-in-law, his father. Yeah, he learned this business of restoration. Like he started to be an apprentice at the age of 14.
See, I mean, this was a very high, like the people who do real high end art restoration or high end furniture restoration for museums and stuff. Somewhere, those people have to learn how to do this stuff, and it can't all be in private collections and private museums. There's dealers of all this stuff, antiquities. Yes. Dealers, old books especially, I know.
Yes, that's mystical to me. I love old books.
Old books with the big bindings and all that stuff to them here. And then how many editions of this were made, and it's from the 1500s, or I don't know when they started printing books. When was the printing press even invented? I've forgotten. When did...
I think
I'd have to go look it up, but
Gutenberg Bible was the first one that was printed.
So I don't even remember when that was, 1100s, 1200s, 1300s, somewhere in
there. Yeah, I have to look it up too.
But so when I say 1500s, I may look foolish, but there are books from those eras that date back, and I know people just are just crazy about rare antiques and rare books. So you do it all, books, furniture, art.
Yes.
Vases,
yes.
Mostly European stuff, but you'll dabble in anything. And if somebody wants to know what I've got, you can probably find out for them. And if they want to know where I can get that, anywhere in the world, you can probably source it and find something for them.
Yes. And we would be very happy to help out.
Pretty impressive. All right, so give us the address of Corona Del Mar if we want to stop in and go down the rabbit hole into this world of... long ago here.
Yes, everybody, we'd love to have everyone. And the address is in Corona Del Mar, and it's 2515 East Coast Highway, suite number 7 and 8 in Corona Del Mar.
And what are you near? What are the cross streets or other businesses you're around?
We're at the intersection of Pacific Coast Highway and MacArthur on the ocean side.
Well, that's pretty
right across from the Chevron gas station.
Well, I don't remember the Chevron gas station, but that's pretty prime territory right down there.
Yeah, yes.
Hard to miss. All right. And it's people like us wandering in. Do you get people? There's a lot of new made money here. And when new made money wants to build a big home on the coast, they don't know what to fill it up with. So they go hire people from Laguna Beach or whatever here and they say, fill it up for me here.
Yes.
And then they find some passion or something that they're interested in.
Yes.
And they go, ooh, I didn't know I could collect that. And so they find themselves suddenly thrown into a world of antiquities that they find fascinating. Yes. Whatever it is, rugs, prints, mirrors, furniture, coins, books, something, you know.
Absolutely. And we work with designers as well as the clients themselves. So... we're open to anyone.
What a unique business. Again, and the name of it is just your two names, D and G. So we say antiques, meaning that you'll sell. Do you act as a broker? Do you sell stuff for people? And then you also act as a retail store. You've got stuff you found and people walk in and buy it.
Yes.
Or you represent them and try and sell their collection somehow to somebody.
Yes, we do take consignments, and we have our own antiques for sale as well.
So as well as collection of both. And then the real interesting part is, what have I got? Or where can I find this? Anywhere in the world. And you're the detectives that go and figure this out and maybe even help bring it back to life and restore it if it's been damaged or...
Yes, that's our passion.
That's your passion. Well, I look forward to coming down. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you very much, Paul.
We're always looking for the most unique people
doing
the most interesting things. This has got to be one of the most interesting, unique things we've come across in many years of doing this show. D&G Antiques and Restoration, they do both. Go find out more. Dig that stuff out. You know, don't just watch the TV shows. See if you got something. Or maybe... you'll find a new passion for something. Go in and wander around, see what they got. Maybe something will spark an interest in you here. You never know what you're collecting, what you'll find interesting to collect, or what you might start with one. I'll give you one more quick story. We did a show with the Singleton Car Collection. Singleton's a very wealthy family. His father started Teledyne, and they have a home in Newport Beach here, as you would expect. And somewhere along the way, they inherited an old car, and that started, let's do another one. Pretty soon, they got 100 cars. Now, they've built a whole collection. They're getting ready to open a museum over by the airport, Singleton Car Collection, all from just inheriting, like, a Rambler or something, and that started a passion, like, we'll make another one. The story of the cars and restoring the cars and finding the cars. Late in life, they found this passion for cars. It wasn't born in them. They found it somewhere along the way. I suspect the same thing happens. People come in, a designer shows them something, or they stumble into your store and they say, that was cool, and then I want another painting, another art, another book, another thing, and all of a sudden you're hooked on this thing.
Yes. Yes, that's an amazing story.
There it is. All right, thanks so much for joining us, Daphne from DNG Antiques and Restoration, right here in Corona Del Mar. So there you have it. Another reason to tune in each and every time to hear the most amazing people doing the most incredible thing right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.